today, all over the world, we are gathering. In large groups and small. In different places and different languages. In buildings and schools. Empty spaces and open fields. In our homes and on our phones. Some come together in freedom, while others have to meet in secret. Some will sing the old hymns, while others are singing something new. We'll all learn different things from the same Bible and worship the same God in different ways. We are the church, the body of Christ, different pieces molded together by the hand of God. Today, all over the world, we are gathering as one.
Well, welcome to the local church that gathers here at Bethel. My name is Josh, and today I have the joy of bringing the word of Christ from the book of 1 Corinthians. And this is why we gather. We gather because we know that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the precious gift of God. That's why we gather, because of the gospel, Jesus in our place. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So for everyone who's watching us online, maybe due to weather or sickness or just checking us out, for you who are new here today, we are delighted that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you do, I want to remind you that every culture, every people group has a way of expressing immaturity. And it happens to be that our language, the English language, ours is juvenile. You probably heard this saying on the playground growing up in middle school. Hey, don't be a baby. Now that's the second worst thing that you can say at recess. And when I said that, your backs stood tall and you're thinking, uh-oh, we're about to fight. And you're waiting for the nuclear option, though. The nuclear option is your mama. Because when that was said, fists were about to fly. Don't be a baby. Means grow up. You're acting immature. You're acting in a way that's beneath your age and beneath your intellect. What's going on? It's interesting that even parent manuals, sociological journals, would have this phrase. It's adults who have decided not to walk in maturity. And this language is actually used in the New Testament. But it has higher stakes than middle school playground fights. Paul says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, I was going to speak to you as spiritual people, but I couldn't because you're people of the flesh, as babies in Christ, infants. Loved by God, yes. Called by God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, yes. Redeemed people, yes. But still acting like a child. Paul says to this church, you're alive, but you're stuck. And God wants something so much more than that for your life. Jesus did not save you to keep you small. He saved you to make you whole. As we look at the word today, you might hear that phrase, be a baby, and God's not mocking you. He's not shaming you for childish behavior. He's calling us to something more, something greater. He's saying, Josh, don't stay stuck where you are today. And really, the call of 1 Corinthians 3 is to grow up in Christ. That we would leave here today looking more like Jesus than we did yesterday. And until he calls us home, we would walk in Christ-likeness. So here's my insult to you. Hey, don't be a baby. Here's my positive encouragement to you today. Grow up in Christ, because he who has called you to walk in righteousness that he has provided. So before we grow up together, let me pray. Father, as we read your word in a moment, we know that the grass withers, flowers fade, but your holy word endures forever. And Father, we desire as we gather right now that your word would endure in our hearts, that we would not act childishly, but we would walk in maturity as you have called us to be holy is holy. Lord, may your presence dwell richly on every heart and soul gathered here today, whether they are online, at home, or here in person. Lord, may we be better because you are here with us. Help us grow in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 reads, "For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you are still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not worldly in behaving like mere humans? For whenever someone says, 'I belong to Paul,' 'I belong to another,' 'I belong to Apollos,' are you not acting like mere humans?" Grow up in Christ. It's interesting that Paul would use infantile language, because we know that in John chapter 3, an adult, a mature person, comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, we know you are from God, because no one can do the things that you do unless you are from God." And Jesus doesn't say, "Wow, what an adult answer. How mature of you." No, he says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again. You need to become like a child. And truly I tell you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." For the Christian, new birth is essential. Jesus says as much. Unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But Jesus never said this. He never said, "Josh, I want you to be born again, and when I give you new birth, you're going to stay as a child." That's often what we believe, though. So I encourage you to be born again if you have not yet received Christ by faith. But friend, do not stay that way. Jesus wants something more for your life. And the gospel overturns the world's expectations. The world regards as foolishness or weak childlike groups and childlike faith. And some of you might have had people scoff at you because of your faith before. It might sound like this: "Do you really believe God destroyed the world by flood? Do you really believe that he created all this from nothing? Do you really believe that God sent his only son born of a virgin? Do you really believe that the death of one man can provide redemption of all people? Oh, what a childish faith you have." We would say, no. Not childish faith. New birth gives us childlike faith. So if you ask me, "Pastor, do you really believe everything Genesis says?" Yes, I do. Do I really believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, something that never has happened and never will again? Yes, I do. Do I really believe that he died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, and rose again 3 days later? Only a child can believe that. Yes, I do. New birth is the catalyst that we need to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we do not stay as a child. We are to grow up in maturity in our lives shows itself not in lack of information, immaturity in the Corinthian church, as it does the Bethel church, shows itself up in factions. I cheer for this team, so I can't talk to people like you. Or jealousy, anger, strife. None of us wants to hear from God, "Josh, you are acting like a baby." And yet, that is what happens when we live in immaturity. New birth does not mean infantile behavior. Childlike faith, not childish faith. And an easy check I ask myself all the time. Is my faith childish? What happens when you don't get your way? You're going to find how mature you are in Christ. Wait till you're running late to work and there's a standstill on the road. And you lose your mind. Not your fault and not the fault of anyone else. And then we realize, I'm not yet mature where I need to be. Or have someone tell you no. Or have the Lord say, "Josh, that's not what's best for you. Not right now." How do you act or react when you don't get your way? And let me just speak to our students. My son's here. We have some students around us. They clapped for Pastor Aaron. You think you're childish sometimes? You've never seen adults behave, have you? Now, I'm going to encourage our students, y'all need to grow up. But there's a lot of our adults that need to grow up much more than our students. How can I prove that? We had 14 of our students go around the world to share Jesus Christ last year. And we're already maxed out past that point. Already this year. If our students are leading the charge in evangelism, in prayer, in maturity and faith, hey, we have a lot of growing to do, adults. And may we not be found lacking. And here's the hope. If God can use teenagers who don't have their life together yet, there's still hope for us who think we have ours together. Childlike faith, not childish faith. And you ask, well, where does the root of my, Pastor, I want to stop acting like a child. Where does the root of that begin? Paul tells us. For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. Now, again, if the, hey, you're acting like a baby, did not arrest the hearers of 1 Corinthians. Now, this would have, because in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, in the flesh is a person who's unconverted. It's a person who does not know Christ. And then some of you should raise your hands and say, well, Pastor, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 last week. And Paul says that they are called as saints, sanctified in Jesus Christ. These are not unregenerate people. They are redeemed people. So how can they be of the flesh? That is the point. If you have claimed the name of Jesus Christ, you should never again act as if you have not claimed the name of Jesus Christ. The root of immaturity in your life is your flesh taking hold of who you are. Paul is not speaking to pagans. They belong to Christ. They are living as though the Spirit were a stranger in their lives. And this should not be so in us. How do then we battle this root of the flesh in our lives? First, we need to recognize that there's no such category. Paul is not redefining terms. And some of you have heard this before, and I'm not throwing shade on what you learned growing up. I'm just saying it was wrong, which I guess is shady. 1 Corinthians does not produce another category of Christian called the carnal Christian. There's no such existence of that thing. It's a unicorn. It doesn't exist. What Paul is saying is if you have been called by Jesus Christ by faith, the flesh in you and the grace in you doesn't make a truce until you get to heaven. So if that's you, if you say, well, I'm a carnal Christian, I have confessed Christ as Savior, I will get to heaven one day, but I am content to live by the flesh, I want to tell you that person doesn't exist. Paul says this is not how we act or live. Scripture knows no such state. Grace rescues a man wholly, not partially. So he's trying to call us and say, I must do better. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be this individual. You see, the believer who yields himself to the flesh lives in open contradiction. How can I say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior if I am living as if Jesus is not my Lord and Savior? This is not a call to Christian perfectionism, but it's a call to live holy before the Lord with no skeletons in our closet. Say, God, I will wage war on the flesh because your grace saves me wholly and entirely. And this is where the word meets us today squarely. Fleshly living does not always look scandalous. Some of you are asking the question, well, what did they do to receive this warning? Well, they were doing some bad things. We've already talked about that. We will get into that. There's an individual in this church at Corinth that is having sexual relations with his father's wife. Pretty fleshly. There are believers that are just looking over their shoulder thinking, I'm about to sue you in court tomorrow. This is happening in Corinth. And there were other believers that were hungry. So they were feasting on the Lord's Supper like it was a buffet. There were others that were thirsty and they were getting drunk during the Lord's Supper, which means they weren't Baptists because they would be really upset. I don't know how much grape juice you have to drink to get drunk. They would be really mad at me. But oftentimes our flesh doesn't look that scandalous. It looks like envy, which no one can see. Sometimes scandalous living in the flesh looks like subtweets or prayer requests that we share on social media, knowing they're not prayer requests. We're actually airing our neighbor's dirty laundry in the name of Jesus Christ, hoping that our neighbor sees so we don't have to call them to their face. And Paul would say, Josh, when you do that, that's fleshly. Sometimes fleshly living looks like anger, where we rage inside, not out of righteousness but out of self-righteousness. Sometimes fleshly living looks like lust, as we look at things or we think of things or we do things that the world will never see us do, and yet it creates perversion in our hearts that God himself sees. And Paul says, believer, this should have no place in you. None. Don't confess the name of Jesus Christ and let the flesh feed within you. Oh, that we would be people who wage war against the sin. May we never claim Christ, yet react, speak, and live as if the Holy Spirit is absent from our lives. This text is a call to repent. It's not a call just to awareness to say, Pastor, you have a good point. I am a baby. No, this apostle is asking the church, when you see this in your life, hit your knees. May your eyes weep at sin. And may we run to Christ again and again. If you belong to him, live as one who does. Do not make peace in your life with what Christ died to kill. Do not make peace in your life with the things that Christ died to kill. Walk by the Spirit and let the life you live bear witness to the grace that has saved you. And if you don't, if we don't, there are two fruits here, that two judgments of God on our life when we feed the flesh and starve the Spirit. Paul says the first fruit is that you are unable to receive the word. He says right here in verse 1, I was, for my part, unable to speak to you, you baby. I'm going to get as much use out of that as I can. Because you were childish. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready. Not able to hear. Now, from a physiological level, we know this to be true. Babies learn initially by imitating, by seeing. They can't speak back yet. And so they see what we do and they model that. They want to walk because they see us walk. They want to eat because they see us eat. They want to make strange noises because they see us making strange noises at them. Paul is not saying that's a bad thing. He actually says in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me, watch me. If you don't know what to do, watch me. Watch me as I imitate Christ. But there comes a point in our lives where we also need to live by hearing the word, not only watching. And that's exactly what Paul is saying to us. Because we live in childishness, he tried to open our ears to the beauty of God's word, and we simply could not hear. The ear matures to receive words, not merely noise. And Paul tells the Corinthians that he was not able to speak to them. Why? Does this mean that God's word is insufficient? No. Does it mean that God's word, that the gospel lacks clarity? No. What Paul is saying, when we live by the flesh, there are times in our life where our hearing has become dull. Now, for a moment, I don't need any husbands or wives looking at each other. Just look at me. This is a safe space. We're talking about hard of hearing. Just this way, eyes here. Because I love you. There are times in our lives where our hearing is not what it should be. Again, just stay eyes here. We know that. And how much more is that true spiritually? That there are seasons of life, often because of our flesh, that we are not able to hear from God. Sometimes because of busyness. We say, God, I just don't have time right now for you. We don't say it like that. We sound more honorable, don't we? How's your week been? Oh, I'm busy. Oh, really busy. Because God gave me more than 24 hours in my day. Really busy. And it should break our heart when we say that to God. Say, God, you wanted to speak to me, but I wasn't ready to listen because I'm too busy doing the lesser things and I missed the greater things. There are times that we are feeding the flesh, and because we feed the flesh, we simply cannot hear the word of God. That does not mean that God's word is void. It means that our hearing is poor. Our sin makes us unfit to receive the word. And this is exactly what selfish living does. It hardens the ear of the soul. It interrupts communion. And what Paul would tell us, when this happens, we stay infantile. We can't grow in faith. You and I cannot grow in faith if we are not listening to the word of God. So let me encourage you today. For all the babies in the room, if you struggle to hear God speak, will you look inward and say, God, is there something in my life keeping me from hearing? There's something in my life where I am not ready to hear. Because this is what I know about your good, good Father. He loves to speak to you. You say, well, how do I know that? Pastor, how can you boldly say that God wants to speak to me? Well, first of all, in my Bible, he wrote 1,123 pages of words to us. On top of this continual revelation through the Holy Spirit. So would we have the boldness today to say, God, sorry that I can't hear you well. speak today, for your servant is listening. And Father, would you remove anything in my life that creates me unready to hear your word? Before you pray that prayer, I want you to know that don't assume the things that God has to say to you are easy things. But oftentimes, the best things that God has ever said to me are the most difficult. They're the things I need. Things like, Josh, turn from your sin, repent, and follow me. And my flesh says, I don't want to do that. But yet this Heavenly Father says, but Josh, if you don't, you can't be saved. Leave the flesh and follow Christ. Josh, don't eat that because it's not good for your soul. But I like it. But it's empty calories. It dulls the senses. It hardens the ears. Turn from that. And would we be a people today to look to heaven and say, God, speak to us, because we want to listen yet again. Can you imagine the impact if we left this place saying, man, God spoke to me. No, let me get it right. Not only did God speak to me, but I listened. I heard him, and it changed my life. The fruit of childish living is the inability to hear God speak to us. There's a second fruit here. Is spiritual immaturity always makes you unable to digest the word. When the ear is dull, the appetite soon follows. Verse 2, Paul again speaks to the babies in the room. And he says, I was going to speak to you, but you were unable to speak. I was going to feed you like beef. I was going to give you a fillet, but I had to give you milk. Because you weren't, or not even like whole milk, like skim milk. Like the milk my grandmother used to try to give me. I was like, Mamma, this is not milk. This is watered down milk. She was like, drink it. It's good for your soul. And I always despised her for that. But now I realize she was biblical. Mamma, you were right. We need milk. Dull hearing of God produces poor appetites for his word. Paul moves on to their inability to eat. He does not mean that Christ crucified is only infant's milk. You see, the gospel is something that we never leave behind. The gospel is Jesus in our place. And you say, well, we get that. That's for childlike faith. And yes, my faith never grows past that fully. I need to look at myself in the mirror every day and say, Josh, you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, because it is nothing you have done. And there is not a day in my life where I graduate past that truth. That's milk. But we can add on to the milk of the gospel the deeper truths of our faith. Loving others and fighting sin. Looking at the plank in our eye that we can then look at the speck in our sister's eye, and we can work in mutual brotherhood for the glory of God. Milk is the simple saving announcement that Jesus Christ died for sinner, and solid food is the deep, steady realization that the entire Christian life remains anchored in that same gospel foundation. Paul's concern is not that the Corinthians need a new message. He's not inventing something new for them to learn. But he's worried that they have distorted the faith once given from the apostles. A phenomenal female Greek scholar said this. She says, her name's Marna Hooker. Miss Marna says, the contrast is not between two different diets. It's not milk or meat, but between the true nourishment of the gospel and the synthetic substitutes the Corinthians have preferred. Paul is worried that Christians will feed on the synthetic truth of the world, not the nourishment of the word. And he doesn't want us to have poor diet. Here's the warning that we must confess and confront. What you habitually feed on will eventually command your heart. Do you know the purpose of algorithms? The purpose of algorithms on your electronic devices are to keep you on that device as long as they can. The purpose of the algorithm is not primarily to help you, to encourage you. It is to keep you, to feed you. Because this is what social scientists know and marketing executives. The longer they can keep you on your phone, the more time that they can sell of yours to advertisers for revenue. Don't think your algorithm cares about you. You are the commodity. It desires your time. What do social software engineers know? They know this truth. What you habitually feed on will command your heart. And this is what the gospel says is true. And I don't tell you that to shame you necessarily, to prevent you from doom scrolling, although I don't want you to doom scroll. I want you to gospel scroll. I want you to feast on the word. I want the algorithm of 1 Corinthians to keep us here to say, God, you did this for me. God, let me day by day and minute by minute and hour by hour drink the milk of the gospel and eat the meat of your word. And may I spend time, because what I feed on will command my heart. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us. Church, if you feast on the synthetic nourishment of the world, you will die empty. You'll stay hungry. The truth is, if you feed on greed, you will reap debt and bondage. And why are some of us in debt? Not primarily because we have income problems. We have greed problems. And would we be people to say that God stops here? Let me have godliness with contentment, which is great gain. May I not feed on greed and reap debt and bondage. When we feed on lust, you will only harvest perversion. And oftentimes I will look at the news or I'll see these devastatingly evil abuse situations. And we say, well, how can an individual do that to anyone? Because they have been lusting in their heart for a long, long time. And they are reaping the perversion of the root of that flesh. And dear friend, do not think that you can feed on lust behind closed doors and not reap perversion yourself. Do not feed on jealousy, because it will leave you perpetually discontent. In this world of social media, nothing is actually as you see it. And my deepest prayer for our young adults is not that you look at Instagram and say, I want to be like that, because that is not accurate. They're feeding you something that they don't have themselves. They're feeding you this distorted identity. And when you feed on that, it only leaves you dissatisfied. Don't feed on jealousy. Feed on unforgiveness and it will reap bitterness. It'll take root in your soul. Feed on fear, and you will be ruled by anxiety rather than faith. You see, we live in a world which offers you counterfeit food. Don't eat the bread of the world when Jesus has offered you the bread of heaven. Grow up in Christ. The Corinthian call is not the call to self-improvement. I'm not telling you go home and eat better, listen harder, white knuckle it. No, this call is the call to gospel alignment. And maybe today, for the first time, you're the Christian, you're the redeemed, you're the called, and you're realizing that you're hard of hearing, or you have a bad diet. Would you ask God to take those fleshly desires away today? Maybe for the first time in a long time, would you weep over your sin and say, God, I'm tired of being angry. I'm sorry. I know you don't desire that. God, I'm tired of being fearful and anxious. God, I give that to you. God, I'm tired of harboring unforgiveness in my soul. God, I'm tired of always looking at someone else and wanting what they have and coveting. God, I want to be content, and I want to live in debt. I want to give like no one else because I want to live like no one else. God, fight the flesh within me. Would you have the boldness to fight the things in your life through the Holy Spirit that Jesus came to die for? Maybe you've heard the gospel for the first time and you realize that you don't care about your sin because you don't know Jesus. And I would say that's a good realization, because without Christ, you really don't have reason to care for your sin. And for the first time today, you've experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you realize, Josh, I'm a sinner. What do I do? Well, first of all, you don't do anything. Just hold on. God knows that on our own, we cannot clean ourselves up enough to merit heaven. And so he sent his only son to live a life that we should have lived, a perfect life, to die on the cross for your sin and my sin. And he rose again. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So how do we receive that gift? It's by faith. That we pray a prayer and we say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And today, by faith, I need Jesus as my own. Today, I will turn from the flesh. I will drink on the pure milk of the gospel. And I just hear in my mind often when a sinner confesses for the first time, I hear heaven saying, we thought you would never ask. Yes. Yes, you can have grace. Yes, you can have forgiveness. That's why Jesus died. For babies like you. Because when you come to Christ as a child, you are born again. And every single person comes to Christ with childlike faith. Would you have the boldness this morning just to pray that prayer? God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus. I know he did what he says he would do. I'm thankful that he rose again, and now I will place my trust in him by faith, and I will follow him no matter the cost. That is childlike faith. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And lastly, for those who belong to Christ, this is a summons to grow up. You're not born again to stay as an infant. Eat the word. Drink the milk of the gospel. Show the love of Christ to the world who needs to see you imitate him as he imitates. As we need to imitate him so that the world can imitate us, so they can see him in us and then follow Christ. So would you have the boldness today just to say, God, I want to grow up. Some of you are saying, well, I am mature. You're not as mature as you think you are. See me after church. We'll talk about it. And even if you were mature as you think you are, may that prayer still be, God, I want to look more like Jesus today than I did yesterday. God, I want to grow up in Christ and look more like Jesus right now than I did this morning, because you are worth it. Let me pray. Father,